Evening, councillors, members of the gallery, council staff. I declare the meeting opened at 6 p.m. Can I please ask you to be upstanding for the council prayer? And it is the meeting of the 26th of November 2024. Do you believe it? He's almost finished. It's like it just begun. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians on the land, of the land on which we meet, and pay my respects to their elders both past and present. Michelle, I don't have an agenda list. I've got the papers, but I'll work off that for now. I'll just remind councillors that their statement of ethical obligations. I note that the meeting is recorded for the preparation of minutes and is made for public review via GIPA rules, I believe, as per the Act, as soon as practicably possible, if I pronounce that correctly. I note we have an apology from Councillor Sekirti Bhatta. She has sent an email asking to be excused from this meeting and to have approval to attend via Zoom for the following meetings in December, January, and possibly February, as she has to had to have travel back to Nepal due to a family emergency. With her mother, who's received some news. So we've got a move. It's been moved by Councillor Esbar, seconded by Councillor Wu. I'll put the motion. All those in favour that her approval for leave be granted and accepted, and she be granted approval to appear via Zoom for those meetings. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Declarations of interest, councillors. I'm going to declare a less than significant conflict. Is it conflict or pecuniary, they call it? Pecuniary or conflict of interest in the Merrill Minute, which I think I've sent out to you, which is MM10/24, which is the council response to Croydon Todd extension to the public consultation period and extraordinary council meeting on the 29th of January, 2025. As my interest is that I reside on Lucas Road, which was sort of listed in the master plan, and I own a property at the Strand. In saying that, the minute that I am putting is more about feedback from residents that I'm passing on and advocacy with regards to clarification from the department and minister. I note there are no other declarations of interest, declarations of political donations. Confirmation of minutes being moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manop. Minutes of the 22nd of October 2024 and 30th October 2024 be accepted as a true correct copy. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. So we'll head to the Merrill Minute 10/24, which is the council titled Council's Response to Croydon Todd Extension to the Public Consultation Period and Extraordinary Council Meeting on the 29th of January 2025. I'm sorry that I've probably only put this out half an hour ago. It's because I've actually been toing and throwing with it pretty much all day, but we had some other changes later this afternoon where I was seeking some further advice. Just a summary. So community consultation is currently underway on the draft alternate Todd master plan that the council's planning consultants have assisted in drafting in response to the state government Croydon Transport Orientated Development Initiative, with a mandated deadline of the 31st of January 2025 for completion. While council has repeatedly requested a further extension of time from the New South Wales Minister for Planning and Public Spaces and the New South Wales Department of Planning, Housing and Infrastructure, this Merrill Minute seeks to extend the public consultation period as long as practicable and proposes holding a dedicated extraordinary council meeting on the 29th of January 2025 to allow for a comprehensive review of community feedback and the preparation of suitable options for consideration. Just via background, so I think the councillors are aware of pretty much the background, but I might just reiterate it again for some of the newer councillors. In December 2023, the New South Wales Government announced a TOD program following a council campaign requesting an extension of time to allow the development of a localised master plan more sympathetic to Croydon's historical character from the Melbourne Blue area, that the implementation of the TOD program was deferred until January 2025. Consultation on the alternate master plan commenced in October 2024. While the state government holds ultimate authority over the approval implementation of the TOD program or any council alternative, council has taken a proactive stance. Rather than passively accepting the state's proposed provisions, we are actively engaging with the community to ensure the community's voices are heard and feedback is incorporated into the process. The final outcome must address the requirement for additional housing set by the New South Wales government. It is understood that the target for the build component of the Croydon TOD is approximately 3,500 dwellings. On further investigation, this appears to be far greater than the yield potentially achieved via the original TOD policy based on council staff estimates, which was approximately 1,500. It is also disturbing to hear from representations that may indicate that the TOD target for the inner west portion of Croydon might be far lower than the Bellwood one by approximately 1,000 dwellings. So while we have 3,500 dwellings, they're being told to provide 2,500. To date, these dwelling targets have not been publicised or made publicly available. However, I have heard through political and community representation that the Department of Planning considers them as non-negotiables. I believe these critical aspects of the TOD program must be clarified and made publicly available. We are deeply grateful for the time and effort the community has invested in this process so far, particularly given the challenges of the limited timeframe. And I understand, and there are members of the community here and the community members I have spoken to, it has been an issue with regards to limited timeframe, and it has added burden, not just to our community, but also to staff in having to respond to that. Rest assured though, Build Council is listening. Our dedicated staff are carefully reviewing all submissions and feedback received to date. And council remains committed to exploring all viable options that balance the need to accommodate population growth while preserving Croydon's unique character. The final outcome may take several forms, including endorsing the TOD program as proposed by the New South Wales government, adopting the alternative draft Croydon master plan currently on exhibition as a response to the TOD program, or developing a refined proposal that integrates community feedback and response to local priorities. I have formally requested a 3-month extension beyond January 2025 from the New South Wales Minister for Planning and Public Spaces. And I won't go on with the rest of his title. This additional time would allow for the finalisation of documentation required for the Gazette of the Croydon Master Plan and provide more opportunities for community engagement. Nevertheless, should the request for a further extension of time not be granted, I propose extending the current public consultation period to at least the 22nd of January 2024 to ensure, December 2024, to ensure the community has more time to provide feedback and prepare detailed submissions. Lastly, I propose that a dedicated extraordinary council meeting be scheduled for the 29th of January 2025 to facilitate community participation at open forum and to allow our council staff and consultants more time to develop a series of viable options for consideration. I also will add in the minute that I'm moving, which I'll read out, a further two drop-in sessions, of which I'll get the dates that I think now have been confirmed and times, just to list that actually as part of that. So I therefore move that the Mayor write to the Minister, New South Wales Department of Planning, Housing, Infrastructure, reiterating Council's objection to the excessive target of 3,500 dwellings imposed on our community, and requesting that all targets relating to the Croydon target for both Building Inner West Side be released and made public. The Mayor again write to the Minister and the New South Wales Department of Planning, Infrastructure, seeking the extension of at least 3 months to facilitate further consultations and options analysis. Three, the Mayor and the General Manager write again to the Mayor and General Manager of Inner West Council, seeking advice on Inner West Council's plans for Croydon Todd, so as to facilitate and coordinate, have a coordinated approach to the precinct. Four, that the exhibition period for the draft Croydon Housing Investigation Area Master Plan be extended and submissions be received until midnight on the 22nd of December 2024. Five, that Council staff and Council's planning consultants review the Master Plan in light of submissions received and develop a series of viable options for consideration by Council. Six, that based on feedback from residents, that the General Manager, staff and Council's planning consultants investigate a policy position for master plans whereby zoning delineations match existing street/road boundaries as opposed to private property boundaries, as well as building height plans. Some might be asking, what does that mean? Like, the current master plan shows some zoning proposals, for example, in Cross Street, where you've got rezoned land for multi-level housing, and forget, it doesn't matter what height it is, abutting then residential homes. The same along Baronia Street, which backs onto parts of Lucas Road. So master planning or rezoning delineation should, unless there's very good reasons where you might be next to some type of public land or so forth, should have roads or streets as delineation or the boundary parts. I think especially not just for this, but any future planning. Seven, that should the request for a further extension of time not be granted by the department, that Council hold an extraordinary Council meeting on the 29th of January 2025 to consider a final report detailing community feedback and to finalise Council submissions regarding the Todd program, with the aim of providing this submission to the New South Wales Minister for Planning, Public Spaces and Infrastructure by the 31st of January 2025 deadline. So I missed the part 6A, which will include that a further two drop-in sessions be, or under part four.
And then instead of just add to
what are the dates? 5th of December and 11th of December at the Council Library, so up here at the Community Hub, Library and Community Hub, between 6 and 8 p.m., is that correct? So if we can just make that for the record, Michelle, and just change the minute. So maybe add that as part of part four. I think we put be publicised, because they've already been decided, is that right? So further be publicised, okay. And part eight, that a mayoral letter be sent to affected residents in the investigation area to inform them of the extended consultation period and of the extraordinary council meeting. Questions, councillors? Councillor Holt.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I agree with the mayoral minutes. I just think the question needs to be asked. Is the department or the state government prepared to negotiate with us as a result of an extended consultation period, as the view seems to be that the target is non-negotiable? If that's the case, then isn't the public consultation more or less tokenistic? It's just going to be ultimately meaningless, isn't it, if the government isn't going to negotiate on the targets and the
just
as
question.
Well as the zoning delineations?
Okay. With regards to the targets, we're hearing conflicting feedback. So that's for me to sort of try to, we've requested a meeting through the state member with the department. Certain advice that we're receiving from particular people in the department are contradicting advice from other people that I'm receiving advice from. Not at liberty to discuss at this stage, but there is, I believe, the people that the department bureaucrats that our staff have been meeting with have put that in writing, but it doesn't mean that we can't go above them to be seeking, because it's the numbers, we've gone back and had a look at it again, the staff to have a look at those numbers again, and they're contradictory to the existing Todd. So if they're contradictory to the existing Todd that they had proposed, why are we being given a number from someone in the department and they're not, they're advising that it not be made public? I'm making it public because I believe it should be transparent. If the department is putting or imposing, in answer to that question, is going to impose a target or a figure on council, they can't hide behind it. They've got to own it.
Sorry,
Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for that answer.
I might stick to specific questions at this stage, not comments.
Just one more specific question, just following on from your remarks about the negotiations with the department and, certain officers in the department. Are there negotiations envisaged or planned directly between the council and the minister and the minister himself?
Repeat that.
Are negotiations envisaged or planned between the council, i.e., yourself as the mayor and maybe other councillors and general manager or other council officers, between those people and the minister himself, so that clarity can be obtained from the minister's mouth, as it were, about these targets and these other matters that are in contention?
I'm not understanding the question.
Are there negotiations planned directly? Are there meetings planned directly during this period envisaged by the minute between yourself as the mayor and any other council officers and the minister himself?
I've put in a request. I'm not sure with regards to the minister, because I'm not believing the minister is meeting with any council based on these policies. So I can't say yes or no. But I am seeking, and I'm going through the channels of following proper process and going through the state member's office. So as soon as I hear back, it won't involve any other councillors, no. It will involve most likely myself, the general manager and staff. Councillor Wood.
Mr. Mayor, just in relation to point three, where you will say that you and the general manager will write again to the mayor and the general manager of Inner West Council. Since that hasn't worked for almost a year, since the Todd was initially announced, may I propose you amend that to say, and if they do not respond, then you escalate to the department or the minister, especially given that Inner West received funding to develop alternative master plans and we were knocked back from our application to receive funding. That's one point. So are you happy to amend that?
Yeah, so we're in questions, but I'm gonna take that suggestion. I think that's a good suggestion. I got a call late today from someone on Inner West Side. It was not the mayor. But from what I'm hearing, and they haven't come out with anything public, but I believe they're seeking an extension as well, in saying that I don't believe Croydon will be excluded. So, but we haven't seen anything, and I don't think our staff have seen anything. But in saying that, if we don't receive a response, then I will add that the mayor raised this with the department.
Yeah, because Croydon is one of two Todd locations that is split across two different LGAs, the other one being Cogra, which is between Georges River and Bayside. And they also received money for their draft master plan. So I think we need clarity from the department, in the email that I sent to you. We need clarity if this is something the department hasn't thought about, because it's only one of two of the 37 locations. They need to let us know how we go about navigating with a council that is not responding essentially and not collaborating.
Good point. Next question, because and then I'll let you get into comments. So yep. We'll do questions.
The other question is, when do you propose to have the revised options put back towards council? Because if that is to be considered at the final report on the 29th of January, then it means that any new affected areas won't have consultation. So
in saying that, I mean, this is really tough. Like, it would be great if we can get an extension so you go back out and consult. That's not up to me. That's something that I'm going to have to rely on the GM and staff, but I might have the GM make some comments on how it could possibly work to probably go out and have a full-scaled consultation between now and 29th of January with the staff to do options. I mean, it's probably going to take them another month to review submissions and do options. I'm not sure, but I know they're going to work through Christmas.
Yep, so then that will lead to early January.
Which might mean they're going to see, I guess, I'll get the GM because they'll look at their reporting. I don't know if you'll have a consultation other than a release of the report before the next council meeting, but trying to get that in advance. So rather than not like a week. So the consultation process will then happen between the residents and the councillors pretty much will be the feedback. But I might hand over to the GM.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think my preliminary comments, I would envisage that given the new deadline for submissions being the 22nd of December and a short break, we would, if the question was relating to council as yourselves, we would most definitely have one briefing or maybe two between the first week of January and when the council meeting occurs on the 29th. I would say, given the date and the urgency of meeting the deadline of 31st, we would probably commit or, I guess, endeavour to put the business papers of the council meeting of the 29th of January out to the public earlier than usual. So if normally we release the papers, let's say, a week before, we will try to do it like 10 days or maybe 2 weeks. If all the modelling and the feedback is taken on board, we can consolidate a number of options. That would allow, as the Mayor mentioned, the opportunity to the community to review, form an opinion on whether they're satisfied or not, and potentially speak to yourselves. In addition, everyone who registers to speak will be invited to come on the 29th. Most likely, we've been talking about an extended open forum session. So instead of like the half hour or 40 minutes we'd be doing normally, it might
end up being extended. Just on that, I might just jump in. Technically, the norm is we have to start the meeting by no later than 20 past six. Otherwise, the meeting will fall over. So you usually have an open forum at six. Under the current code of meeting practice, four speakers usually are registered. They speak, there's no interaction, 3 minutes and then they sit down. What we're going to try to do and is possibly try to start the meeting at five, where we can do an open forum at five so we get more speakers in, try to get them organised in groupings. I think I've had a chat to some of those residents in that regards to give people a say and get their message across, obviously, considering we're not going to be able to go back out and do a full consultation. Mm-hmm. Then obviously there might be some options on there. And then obviously then we go into obviously a council meeting. So,
okay. Just one more thing, which is a lot of residents have been asking me for a comparison report between the master plan and the TOD. And given the low to mid-rise housing reforms will also be taking effect, they want a comparison report exactly of what they are supporting or not supporting. So can we propose to have that drafted as well?
I'll pass on that request to the GM to take on notice. I think with the Croydon Todd, I mean, because the mid-rise has been announced but yet to be released, and it could be imminent, I'm not sure. In saying that, I think it's confused people when we say. And I can sort of see where the consultants have come from, because they're probably thinking, if you look at the mid-rise, some of these areas are going to get caught up in it. In saying that, I think at this stage, if we're going to compare apples with apples. I think we need to say, let's have a response for the Todd first. If mid-rise then comes in, let's not try to confuse that here, because then I think that was creating part of the confusion and people were thinking, oh, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be against the master plan because
Yes,
the
that's exactly,
mid-rise
yeah.
is coming. I know that.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Well, if the mid-rise then comes in.
But the area above the housing investigation area, most of it is R2, which means you're only looking at low rise, which is terraces,
That's
townhouses,
right.
maximum two stories. So a lot of them think that they're actually going to be affected by the mid rise. That's what they've been told when they're actually in the R2 zone, which means they're only affected by low rise. So there's a lot of confusion out there as to how the Todd interplays with the low to mid rise versus the quota master plan, because I assume the master plan is substituting both the Todd and the low to mid rise. Is that right?
The master plan,
Is substituting for both.
from what I understood, that's for the planners to. I think there was some suggestion of that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we haven't received advice from the department about the application or the activation of the mid-rise, but it certainly would be intended that the Todd or the alternate master plan would replace the mid-rise, but we haven't received confirmation about.
Okay, because the Todd is up to 400 metres, whereas the low to mid-rise is 400 to 800, and where the Todd applies, the low to mid-rise doesn't apply. So I would assume the Todd and the low to mid-rise is one option. You either go with that, the Todd and the low to mid-rise, or you go with the master plan. Is that right?
I'd have to double check that.
I think what Councillor Wu is, the intent of the question, if, correct me if I'm wrong, is had there been some suggestion that if Council proceeded with something like the master plan, would the mid-rise then, could we gain exemption from a
Correct,
mid-rise?
yes. Is that?
Did any indication on a.
We don't know. We we
Okay.
we we.
Okay. Well, unless you're certain, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, that's all from me. Thank you.
I think with the mid-rise too, I think there's, because it's the 400 and 800 is providing some level of confusion. Because from what I've been and I've seen and read is the 400 would allow the 3 to 6 story type development. And then it's going to be treated differently from shopping centres to those around railway stations. So, for example, Burwood and Croydon railway stations will still have, but this is going across New South Wales anyway, so it's going to be a state set. Any other questions? There being no further questions, and sorry, just finally, in a quick writer reply, really would seek the support of the councillors with regards to. This mayoral minute. It's been tough. I'd like to thank all the residents that are involved in providing their feedback, but also the staff for, I know they've been had some robust conversations on both sides. And there is a bit of and like, which is a bit, I guess, when you go through a process like this, you really want to see some form of at least like a certain degree of people that whether they support are going to support it before you would even want to do it. Like, and now there's still a lot of confusion. There's a lot of objection. There's people writing in saying they support it as well, which is fine. There's people that are confused with the low to mid-rise. And because of that, I think, well, if you're uncertain, tread with caution. And then when things like if other policies come in place or whatever else, I think then we look at it. The other thing I really want to reiterate is just I know master plans are drafts. I know our time frame was really short and we've been sort of restricted by the top, so this is no reflection on our staff. But I do want to point out that a process for a master plan usually doesn't run like this. The process for Burwood North ran very differently. It had a lot more community involvement from ground up. It's unfortunate we weren't able to have a process like that in relation to this master plan. In saying that as well, because it is a draft, And because of the timing, and I'm not making excuses, it has caused, from the feedback I have received, it has caused some, not just confusion, but anxiety, fear, uncertainty for residents, which is something that we really don't want to see, especially residents, whether you're short term or long term, shouldn't have to feel or go through that. And part of that could be based on, some of the recommendations or proposals, I wouldn't say recommendations, but proposals that had been put out for comment, where you had quite not just dense buildings, whether they be on main roads, but also dense, high density buildings adjoining residential homes. And I think if we are going to have, in future, for future master plans, if we ever look at future master plans, that's something that we need to address, even if it is a draft. Because I don't think it's, me personally, I don't think it's good planning. I can understand there were sort of those heights were being looked at to create public squares and spaces and walkways and so on, but I just don't think that works. It's not a common sense approach anyway, to planning, and that creates unnecessary anxiety and fear and concern for people that obviously, if you put yourself in their situation, I'm sure you would feel the same. Councillors, I'll put the minute. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimous, I think. Yes, unanimous. Our next item, councillors, is reports to council. The first report is item 62/24. It's been moved by Councillor Manner with the attached list that I had circulated to councillors. Seconded by Councillor Yang. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against declare that carried unanimously. 63/24 is the next item, Multicultural Advisory Committee on page 9. Moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Yang. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against declare that carried unanimously. Item 64/24, moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor Wu. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against declare that carried unanimously. Item 65/24, which is the revision of Charter Audit Risk Improvement Committee, page 17, moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor Wu. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against declare that carried unanimously. Item 66/24, Code of Conduct Complaint Statistics. Have we had any? Oh, well, that's good. Moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Yang. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against declare that carried unanimously. 67/24, Budget Review, Quarter Ending, page 36. Moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Yang. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against declare that carried unanimously. 68/24, Investment Report. Moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor Manner. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against declare that carried unanimously. Item 69/24, which is the outcome of property acquisitions. Moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Yang. Do councillors want a quick update on some of that? So, can I disclose figures or not allowed to? So, council recently was, well, over Christmas, sorry, over the election period, because it was the last election, endorsed to purchase. The council purchased the 7-Eleven, which is on Billwood Road. I'm not sure if the amount had been disclosed in the report. I think it was $7.8 million from memory. It was at public auction, I believe. And I think it's returning close to $400,000 a year. It was nil income, sorry, nil debt for council, because we used funds that were in the voluntary planning agreement fund. Council also, I think from what you could see, also put in a bid for a property at Stratford on the Boulevard. And I think we had a limit of 6.3 million, of which we, I think it was from memory, of which we didn't proceed with. The one on George Street, obviously council staff are now looking and reviewing at some of the options there. It has future potential with regards to possible future redevelopment, future amalgamation, future part demolition to create public square, increase public spaces. One of those was the last, I think, extraordinary meeting we had, which was a private and confidential meeting, which discussion on the Westpac building. Council put in a bid for that. Can I disclose the bid? No. Anyway, the bid was accepted. We were asked to
then put in a pay deposit.
It was for over about $13 million. And then at 4:30 that afternoon, so that was around 4 o'clock, we put it all before four, I believe, and then we received a response back that the bid has now jumped after they accepted the original bid. So we didn't proceed to auction, and I believe it's now since been sold. It's unfortunate. That would have been a great opportunity to acquire so council could again create a public square where we could set the building back behind the Billard post office so you can get the original vista of the post office at the time, while at the same time creating increased spaces on a intersection which is becoming quite pedestrian busy, where we're having residents overflowing. In saying that, council still has the requirement on any future development application of a 6 or 9 metre setback, 8 metre setback, I believe. And it is still shown in council's section 117, I believe, as possibly acquiring, and it could possibly end up on an acquisition list for council in the future anyway, or a future negotiation if there is a DA. Any questions in relation to that? Councillor Hull?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just in respect of 95 Burwood Road, I expect that council will be advised by way of a detailed report on plans for that site, as you enumerated a moment ago.
Is that the 7-Eleven site from
the 7-Eleven site?
Yes.
And,
answers yes.
And that will be sometime next year, I expect.
Yes. Any further questions? Been moved. Oh, I think it was moved and seconded. Any other questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Reports of committees. RC 724, Build Local Traffic Committee. Moved by count. And RC 8/24 has two local traffic committee reports. Being moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor Manor. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. And I believe there's no further business, so we'll declare the meeting closed at 6:34 p.m. Thank you for your attendance.